We'd like to thank you all for tuning in again this morning to Bridging the Gap. Today and for the rest of this week, Judge Anderson is going to be speaking with representatives of the Powell County Jail. I'm sure you've seen the construction on Breckenridge Street. There's a lot of progress, a lot of work going into the jail right now. And today, the judge is going to speak with jailer Travis Crabtree. And tune in for the rest of the week as we're going to have a more in-depth look at what goes into the jail, the progress that's been made there, and how things are coming along in the future of your Powell County Detention Center. So now I'm going to turn it over to the judge and to the jailer, and they're going to guide you through how things have come along over the past few years and what the future holds for Powell County's jail.
As we'd started talking about earlier when we first started doing this show, was one of our goals was to let you be a little bit more familiar with your elected officials. You know, you may hear jailer, you may hear judge, you may hear magistrate, whatever. I don't know that everybody always realizes everything that goes into those positions. So one of the ways to better equip you with what all one of these positions entails is actually to talk to that person, get a little bit better idea. And today I'm fortunate enough to be here with jailer Travis Crabtree. We'll let him introduce himself, and then we'll get into some of the things that's been going on at the jail and some improvements he's made since he's been your jailer. And very excited. You want to introduce yourself, Travis?
Yeah, I'd like to start by saying that it's been a privilege to be elected and start my term in 2011 and start serving the people of Powell County. It's been a work in progress that started with what seemed to be an uphill climb, but we're starting to see a little bit of a light ahead of us, and we'll go on to talk about that in the show.
Like you said, I think we'll get way into quite detailed into some of the progress you've been made. I guess people just think about a jailer and they just think that we're putting people in cells and holding them for whatever. You'll give them a little bit better idea exactly on a daily basis, kind of some of the things you have to deal with as a jailer and how it's a little bit more complex than just housing people, maybe?
Well, a lot of times have changed since Mayberry, and you don't have your occasional Otis anymore. Now we're seeing a lot of medical responsibility. We have to feed every inmate we have three times a day. We have to wash their clothes. We have to take care of their dental, their medical, which I mentioned earlier. And, you know, a lot of times you see someone that's abusing drugs, and we're seeing that a lot now. And you talk about withdrawal and coming out off those drugs. You don't just see that. You see long-term damage, whether it be with their liver, their kidneys, and that's stuff that we have to treat as long as they're incarcerated. So we spend a lot of time on the road, back and forth to the hospitals, to doctor's appointments. We have our own health care company, Southern Health Partners, which have been a blessing as far as keeping a daily check on our inmates to make sure that the problems just don't spring on us, and that we monitor and keep everything in front of us so we know what we're dealing with. But there's a lot of, with the drug use, there are a lot of medical problems come along with that, and we're trying to combat that every day. People think that, you know, we're sitting there and we just have our occasional drunk, but we don't. We have this year, on average, about 165, 170 inmates. And again, we have to take care of all those inmates' needs and at the same time try to keep order in the jail and have construction going out front. We really have a lot. It's a busy time for the jail. We have a lot going on, and I think the staff's doing a tremendous job of that. They keep it to where I can concentrate on the budget, concentrate on the county's tax dollars, and they pretty well hold the fort down and take care of the inside of the jail, and I'm fortunate to have good employees.
Yeah, I want to commend you and your staff. As I said, you talked about that, and one of the things that I think we're going to get into, and you kind of alluded to there, was naturally with all the other things other than just, you know, holding a person, all the responsibilities you have medically and things, that quickly gets into dollars and cents and makes things definitely, with the requirements now, it's a lot more costly than it used to be in the past. And I guess kind of getting into some of the things you and your staff has accomplished while you've been there, naturally, and I think it's still a perception that the jail is the most costly items to us as taxpayers, you know, in most counties, and in fact in most counties in Kentucky, if they have a full-fledged jail, that is the case, and that's one thing you should be extremely proud of. That's no longer the case here in Powell County. If you'd like to speak to a little bit of the financial condition when you took over and kind of what you've been able to do in that time period and kind of where we're at today, I think the folks will be very impressed with some of the things you and your staff have been able to do.
Well, I want to start by just saying that some of the numbers I'm getting ready to give to you when I first came in doesn't mean that people before me were doing a bad job, or the life of the jail has changed. It's changed tremendously. Before I took over, there wasn't a lot of state money for substance abuse programs or to house state inmates. There wasn't a lot of room. The people before me done the best they could with what they had. I was fortunate enough to be elected on the state board of directors for the county jails in the state of Kentucky. I got to see the input on the state level and what monies were available and how to obtain those money and how to obtain those inmates. We get paid for state inmates. We don't get paid for county inmates. And that's the difference. Before, we were holding a lot of county inmates, and, the state inmates just weren't there for people to get out and reach to. As I looked at the budget when I first came in, I seen that the county was given $645,000 out of general fund to make up the bills and the payroll and such for the jail. That was the county's contribution to the jail. Today, we are at $110,000 county contribution for this budget year we're in. That's over $500,000 of savings in only a short time. You're talking about 7 years. So we are making progress, and we're doing that by going out soliciting state inmates, making friends from all parts of the Commonwealth to be able to obtain those inmates when they're freed up in other counties. Like I say, we've been very fortunate. We've worked well with everybody around us, and our staff knows that at the end of the day, it's about our taxpayers and saving them money. So we do the best we can do to do that. Our next budget that we just got approved to send out to the state for approval shows the jail making $24,000, which is phenomenal. We will join one of maybe two or three jails in the state of Kentucky that actually make money. One right off the top of my head would be Marion County Adjustment Center. But, we've come that far, Judge, in over 7 years, and I think it's just working together and looking at the overall goal and seeing where we want to be at and where we want our taxpayers to be at, and we're making those goals, and we feel like we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and this next year should be a big year for us.
Yeah, I know, and I want to say thank you again. I'm sure the physical court, and I think your office as jailer and the way you've conducted yourself and your staff has interacted with us has made things, there's been many times myself or members of the court have questioned you on things, and it was a get to know your office better and see things we could do, and there was a positive exchange. And I think your efforts and being able to work with the court, we've identified places where we could do better, and it's resulting in taxpayers we've been able to free up their dollars to do other things besides the jail. And I guess in that light, kind of one of the things that I know took the decision of the court was the jail expansion that you kind of alluded to there. And that was a very hard decision when you start talking about the amount of investment that has. But yourself and the court really dug into the numbers and made sure it was the right thing. And as this new budget you referred to there bears out, it very much looks like it's going to be a very positive thing and in a real quick time too. So naturally, any time that we potentially, let's say in the course of that 7 to 8 years you're talking about, go from general fund supplementing the jail 645 to actually having potentially an excess of 24,000, that means that's close to $700,000 of taxpayer money that's no longer been required to fund our jail and can be put into other important areas we have in our county. So if you want to talk a little bit about kind of some of the new construction, why we did it, and what it's going to offer to Powell County.
We had found ourselves being very overpopulated. A lot of inmates on the floor. And still we were seeing an increase across the state in state inmates. We had looked at the numbers and looked at the price of building. And, as you said before, we hardly ever as county officials see eye to eye But the ability to be able to sit down and work these things out is really good for our county. It's really good to compromise on stuff and to get both sides and work it out and just hash it out. There's days we leave happy and days we leave mad, but at the end of the day, we're on the same page and we're looking for the same goal, and that's the taxpayers. The new jail, as you guys see driving down Breckenridge Street, and right now it's an eyesore, but it's going to give us the ability to bring in a potential $700,000 or $800,000 more in revenue. We filled our budget numbers out. We went on the low end just to try to make sure we meet our goal, and we still come out $24,000 to the good, which I think we can beat that. I think we can be more in the $75,000 to $80,000 range, which is tremendous. And you know, our staff deserves it. We've worked in close quarters for the last 7 years. You know, just on top of each other. Really, no office space, no space to hold our inmates that are become problem children, which we have a lot of those. And this jail is going to open things up. And recently, just yesterday, Judge, I got a call from Kevin Pangburn. He's over the substance abuse program in the state of Kentucky. And we're going to see our 50-bed SAP program potentially get to 100 beds, which is great. I mean, that's what we want. We want to get these people in here, get that money that the state has set aside for substance abuse and put it to use in our county and not somebody else's. The jail's going to be around June or July getting ready, us getting moved into it, but it's going to allow us to house more inmates and house inmates for other counties. I know Estill County is they're tracking inmates all over the state right now to try and get a place to house them, and they have trouble with getting transports back and forth to court, which having a jail is very fortunate for a county because you don't have those transport costs. We're going to be able to host some inmates for them, make their life a little bit easier at the same time, bring some more tax dollars in from counties around us and trying to be a regional stronghold.
Yeah, we'd like to, and of course, I think probably through the week we'll get a little bit more dug into some of the things you mentioned, but you mentioned SAP and you mentioned, well, you didn't mention, but we will mention our work release program, and like I said, we'll get a little bit more in depth in those, but I think that's something that people we should let them know too, is we're not just incarcerating people. We have these programs to try to make a difference when these people get out and trying to do some, you know, everybody's aware of the lack of drug treatment facilities and things, but with our SAP program and things, those things are actually related to trying to get these people back to being.
Guys, I think this is a pretty good time to take a break. Today we've been talking with Judge Anderson and Jailer Travis Crabtree, and Travis has given us a lot to think about today. To see a jail go from nearly over $500,000 in debt to turning a very respectable profit in his tenure, that's really some remarkable stuff. And that's the kind of thing that's the purpose of this show, is to give us some insight into how our local government works and things we can be really proud of that we see in our elected officials. And I'd like to commend Travis for the work that he's done and for coming on the show and giving us some insight. And don't worry, we're not done with Travis. We have another episode coming tomorrow that's going to feature more with Travis and the judge here. And we're also going to have continuing coverage of the Powell County Detention Center throughout the week. We're going to talk to the coordinator for the SAP, that's the Substance Abuse Program, as well as some of the staff of the jail who actually make it run day in and day out like the well-oiled machine it is. So thanks, Travis, for coming on, and thank you for your time, Judge. And I hope all of you will take the time tomorrow after Tradio to tune in and listen again and get the other half of this interview with Travis and stick with us all week to get a greater understanding of what we have going on in Powell County and why it's all worth it in the long run. So thanks, everybody, for listening. It means a lot to us, and we'll see you again tomorrow.